Tonight I want to turn to a psalm, Psalm number 146, and I wanted to kind of bring a message that is along the line of praise and thanksgiving. What that really is to mean to our hearts. I know this month, of course, we're coming up very close to the Thanksgiving season, and it's always good to pause and to reflect upon the goodness of the Lord and the reasons why we should be bringing praise in our hearts and lives to the Lord. I want to read Psalm 146. We're going to read the entire psalm. I don't know that I'll finish the whole psalm tonight, but we'll put that aside and finish next time. Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, as we study your word and begin to look at this psalm, that our thoughts would be clear. We pray that the people would understand the heart of the message and understand the meaning of what this psalm means to us as Christians. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Help us to draw near to that thought tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight I want to speak about the meaning, source, and purpose of praise. The meaning, the source, and the purpose of praise. Here in Psalm chapter 146, we're coming near the end of the book of Psalms. There's only five psalms left. And if you notice something quickly, at each of these psalms, maybe flip a page or two in your Bible, they each begin with the same phrase, praise ye the Lord. It's mentioned several times. And then the last psalm, chapter 150, every single verse has praise him, praise him, praise ye the Lord. The word praise mentioned so many times. These last five songs are commonly called the Hallelujah Psalms or the Hallel Psalms. The word praise ye the Lord there, or praise ye, in the Hebrew is the word Hallel. And it means to, of course, give praise. And the object of each praise, if we would look at each of these chapters quickly, would be Jehovah God. And it talks about all the things that God does, all the things that he does for man, how he works in history, how he works in providence, how he works in nature for the benefit and the good of his people. And as a result of that, we are to dwell upon those things and then give praise to the Lord. Now, I wanted to, as we look tonight at the word Hallel, I want to do a little word study on the meaning of praise and this word in the Hebrew, Hallel, so that we can understand what it means for us to have praise in our hearts and lives. First of all, the basic Hebrew meaning of the word Hallel, I was kind of maybe shocked a little bit when I began to study this word a little more. I never knew it meant this, but it comes from a root word that means to shine or to make to shine, kind of the idea of reflection. So, and it also has the idea of giving forth a distinct sound. So if we take those things together, praise means to give a specific sound in order to make something illustrious or to shine light on it or to make something glorious, and thereby you're commending or you're celebrating that thing that you're making that sound about, to praise something, to make it luminous and illustrious. So clearly then, praise is something that we do individually or as a whole for another person, another object. Shining forth something out of our actions in our life and our thoughts that makes something else appear illustrious, that brings glory and causes celebration to something other than ourselves. That is what praise is to us as humans. Now let's take the meaning of this root word here that has the idea of giving off light. Even in the Hebrew Bible here, the Old Testament, it is used in the idea, the word Hallel is used in the idea of heavenly celestial bodies giving off light. Look up, for example, to Job chapter 31. Turn to Job chapter 31. In verse 26, Job chapter 31, it says, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness. That word shined there is the word Hallel, indicating that the sun is reflecting. It's giving forth a shine or an illumination from another source. It is praising something. The light of the sun is praising or giving forth or shining. Also in Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah 13 verse 10. If you don't get there, I'll read it. Verse 10 says, "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." There's coming a day when the praise of those heavenly bodies will be ceased. The light of those bodies will be ceased. And if we looked over to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19, it tells us that the Lord is going to be ruling. The Lord is going to be the light. And that is why these things will cease to be shining. There's no need of lesser lights when the Lord is shining. But when we look at these things, we understand that even for a heavenly body, there must be some kind of source of light or something, some kind of source for those things to be reflecting and shining out and making something else illuminous, pointing to a greater source than itself. They're praising another source. You know, if you think about that just in a purely scientific sense, I've been taught a 7th and 8th grade basic anatomy, and I was reading about that your eyes only see because light reflects off of an object and comes to your lenses, where your lens can focus that light and then invert it onto your retina, and then the signals can go to your brain and you see what it is. We would not be able to see something unless light was reflecting off of it. That's why when you turn the lights out, we can't see anybody, you know. There's no light coming to our eyes, coming to our lenses and retina for us to see something. The same idea here we can carry over with the source of praise. There must be some source, there must be something, some other source giving off light for us to be able to receive that and to reflect it and to shine it out. There must be a source of praise. When we apply this to the sense of praise, to shine or to make to shine, we can shine out light and praise that others will see, but the light that we're shining out has got to be a reflection of something. There must be a source of that light of praise. And of course, as believers, the source of our praise, the source of light to us is God the Father and God, the triune God. So we are therefore to shine out in praise to reflect the glory of God, to reflect what God has done. He alone deserves that glory. He alone deserves that praise. And we need to offer our full praise and glory to Him as we reflect in our lives what He has done. So proper praise, therefore, is just simply a reflection of the source of our praise. The source of our praise is God. We are to reflect that, His goodness in our lives, reflecting so others can see. You know, you take the source of light, and you know, we think of the sun as the source of light for our solar system and as our planet especially. All throughout history, man has tried to pervert that source of light. You know, God wants us to see nature, see things in nature, and see Him as the one who gave that and as the one who is controlling that. Well, man, all throughout history has tried to pervert that light source. And it's easy in history, if you look back at civilizations that began to praise the thing that was doing the reflecting, the thing that was shining out, the thing that was praising God. Well, let's worship that. Let's worship the sun rather than the God who gave the sun, rather than the God who is the source of light, the source of power. Well, we're going to praise the sun, the object, rather than God. I thought about Egypt especially. You know, they're an empire that was known for the worship of the sun. And I hope you're seeing a correlation here, that what we really believe is the source of power, the source of goodness, and the source of strength, that's what we're going to praise. And here, these different civilizations believed it was just the sun itself. They didn't trace it back to God, so they began to praise the thing, the object, rather than the creator. Egypt divided the worship of the sun into three different categories. They had a rising sun called Har, H-A-R. Then they had the midday sun god. That was the most famous. Any of you students who have studied history of Civ in high school, you know that was called Ra. They had the god named Ra. That was the midday sun god. Then they had the setting god, setting sun god, who was called Tum, T-U-M. Babylon and Assyria, they both worshiped the sun and the moon, but they put more of an emphasis on the moon as the true source of light. And the sun was called Shamas, and it was inferior to the moon god. The Vedas of Indian philosophy, the Vedas are the source of the Hindu religion. They emphasize the sun god Mitra. The ancient religion of Zoroastrianism teaches about Mithra, the sun god. Even the ancient Arabians, they teach of a god named Oratol. He was the sun god, but he was their monotheistic god. They had a monotheistic religion in some ancient past, but they trace it to the sun god. In other words, these men in different civilizations, they're seeing light. They're seeing a source. They're seeing something that must be coming, it receiving its light and shining forth from another source, but they don't acknowledge the other source, the source of true power and light as God. They trace it directly to the object. You know, I even thought about how today, I was telling my wife about this, how the words that we have, horizon and sunset, those English words are actually preservations of an old Egyptian concept of the god of light who was called Horusin, kind of really similar to horizon. And then they also had a god of darkness who was named Set. And those old words have been preserved. Those gods have been preserved. Horizon, the rising sun, sunset, the setting sun. So these things have been preserved. And we see that man doesn't point to the source of the praise, but points to the object and tries to raise that and elevate that above the true source. Man tries to pervert the source of true light. They place the glory and praise for all things, not upon the supernatural creator, but just on the natural thing itself. So when they give praise to the natural object, they're reflecting and shining out the light of a false source. If we're praising and shining out praise of something other than God, then we are praising a false source. It's so easy for man to get caught up in things rather than seeing God, the true God, the source behind it. What you really believe about God, what you really believe about His power, about His working in history and how He works and how He preserves and how He decrees things and purposes things, the one who is over nature, over the entire universe. If you don't see God as that, then you will not have the right heart of praise. When we catch a glimpse for what God really is and the great wonderful power that He has, then it's spontaneous, it generates praise in our heart when we realize, wow, God, You are a powerful God and we are nothing. And it generates praise to God. If you think about some religion or some movement, if that's what you think about, if that's what you think is the dominant thing, then you're going to praise a religion or a movement. If you think it's some man, then you're going to end up praising a man your whole life. If you think it's some inanimate object, you're going to spend your life praising those things if that's what you think the true power and source of your life is. But if you go through Psalm 146 here, and you could go through so many more psalms, but it's so evident that the true source of praise is Jehovah God, the one who has done the creating, the one who does the judgment, the one who opens the eyes of the blind, who preserves, the one who is going to reign forever, the eternal God. He is the one that we must have in mind as the source of true praise. Now, I want to take a few minutes and look at the uses of the word Hallel, this word praise in the Old Testament. Many times the word praise is used in the plural, indicating that praise is more than a one-person thing. You read about verses that say, praise ye Him in the congregation, a group of people praising the Lord. Look in Jeremiah chapter 31. I want to look at a few different ways in which this word is used. Jeremiah 31, verse 7. This verse is referring to a future time in which God's going to restore Israel. And it's going to give praise in a unique way. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. It's very clear in this verse that the prophet is telling them that the people in the future, when God delivers them, are going to speak praise. One way we can praise the Lord is by speaking, by using our mouth. Praise by speaking. Another one, Psalm chapter 69. Psalm chapter 69, verse 30, just says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This is praise of God by man singing. When we sing in church or when we come together and sing, even if it's in our classroom or if we're singing hymns in our family devotions, it's praising God together with whoever we're with. Singing, you could be driving in your car and singing the praises of God, singing a good hymn that maybe the Lord brings to your mind. You're praising the Lord in psalm. In song. Then look in Psalm 148. We're not going to read this whole chapter, but you could go through this entire chapter and see all the things that the Lord did. It's telling Him to praise Him, all the angels, all the sun and moon. He has established and created the dragons, the deeps, the fire, the hail, the snow. You could go on and on through this verse that God is the one who has made everything animate and inanimate, and therefore He is the one to be the source of praise in all of those things. It's the call for all of those things, the angels, the host, the sun and moon and stars, everything animate and inanimate is to give glory and praise to God. Not to point to self, not to point to myself, but to point to something other than me, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, let's look also at Psalm 35, verse 18. I wanted to talk for a few minutes about this verse. Psalm 35, verse 18. Let's look at praise in another context. Remember, as we look at this word praise, it's the word Hallel, meaning to shine forth, to illuminate, to give celebration or commendation of something other than ourselves. Verse 18 says in chapter 35 of the book of Psalms, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Now, certainly we can praise the Lord at any time. You can be by yourself and having thoughts of praise to the Lord of what He's done for you. But the emphasis here is that we also at times need to have our praise seen by others. to shine out the praise of God before others in the congregation, or maybe if we're, you know, wherever we are, we want the Lord to be shining out of our hearts and lives so others will see what God has done for us. It's, you know, if the Lord's done something wonderful for you, it's one thing to just know it and keep it clamored up, but what if you could share that with somebody else? It may be an encouragement to them. They may be in a needy time as well, and you can say, brother, you know what the Lord did for me last week and this verse of Scripture? That other brother may need that kind of word. Speak forth the praise to others, to the congregation. You know, if we're never praising God in public or telling others how good God is to us and what He has done for us and keeping it to ourselves, are we ashamed to speak of what God's done? Does it seem awkward when we have to speak of those things? I'm looking forward to Camp Koinonia, a time when we're going to be able to give thanksgiving to the Lord. It's good as a congregation at times to give praises or to give testimonies of what the Lord's done for us. It says here very clearly, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise Thee among much people. If we really understand what the Lord's done in our hearts and what He's done for us, we would not be able to hold it back. We have to tell somebody of what the Lord's done for us. And so it's good to tell and to praise those things. We need to do that for the edification of others. I thought about 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a passage that talks about how it's dealing with tongues, and it deals with how that tongues are really of no value if they don't edify the congregation. And the whole point, one of the whole points of that chapter is, what are you doing in worship that is edifying the whole congregation? Well, this is part of that. As a congregation, giving praise to the Lord, giving testimony to the Lord, sharing His goodness, it edifies other saints. Also in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the purpose of the different gifts in the church to be for edification of the body of Christ. God wants us to do things in a congregation that edify one another. And part of that is offering praise to God. If we don't offer praise to God or share with another person what God's done for us, then we may have missed an opportunity to be used by the Holy Spirit to edify another person, or to help them get through a situation that we may not even know about, or to help them carry a burden that we may not have an idea about. So it's good to give praise to the Lord in the congregation, to share those things with other people, so that others will know what God has done for us. Now, another major point of praise in the Old Testament, you could look at all the words and every passage that dealt with praise, and there's one major theme you could get from all the Old Testament in praises, that God is the true object of praise. God is the true object of praise. And as we continue to go through Psalm 146, that's going to be very clear. I'm sure you saw that as we just simply read through the chapter. It's very clear that God is the object of praise. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14, I'll just read that. It says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise." A correlation of God and praise, an equality. Praise and God are the same thing. Praise and God go together. God is deserving of praise, and because of who He is, we should readily give Him that praise. Other passages show that God and praise are inseparable. Deuteronomy 10:21 says, "He is thy praise, and He is thy God." Psalm 109:1 says, "The God of my praise." God is the shining light. God is the source of light that we must reflect when we praise Him. God is praise. Now, one more thing about God and praise that we want to notice is that God's praise is to increase. You know, it'd be one thing to know what God did for your life in a certain situation and to give Him praise for that, and then to never praise Him again for anything else. Well, God is a God who is continually good to His people. He doesn't give goodness one time and then stop. Now, there are going to be trials and hard things to go through, but each one of those things, we need to understand what God is trying to do for us and still give Him praise. In Psalm 71, verse 14 says, "But I will hope continually." Don't hope and then stop hoping. "And will yet praise Thee more and more." Even if things aren't going right, even if there's maybe, you know, think about David who wrote a lot of these Psalms. Maybe there was the enemies around him, or Saul was chasing him, or you had these different people telling Saul where he was, or he was going through these battles and all the things. Even when he went through the sins of his life, he still, even in the hard things, had to find praise to the Lord. "Praise Thee more and more." Increasingly showing what God has done. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, "Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." Showing to the generation to come. We've got to let the young people coming up or the future generations know this is what the Lord's done for us. Now, it wasn't because of me, it wasn't because of man, it wasn't because of so-and-so, but it's because of the Lord. This happened, and we have this, and we've got to preserve that thing, the heritage God has given us in this ministry. And we think of Dr. Hobbs and all that he has done, and I'm sure Dr. Hobbs would agree that he wants to point that praise to the Lord. It was what God did through people. And we've got to direct that to the next generation to know, no, men worked, yes, but God receives the glory. God receives the honor. God did the work. And this verse clearly says, showing to the generation to come the praises of man, the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works, what He did in different situations to get you out of hard places or to do something good for you. Showing those things. Why? So that then we can applaud man. When we show the praise of God, then there's nothing to applaud in man. Man is weak. Man is nothing. But when we show what God has done, then we can increasingly continue and more show His praise from generation to generation. And then in Psalm 106, verse 47 says, save us from the heathen. It speaks about God saving us from the heathen so that we can give thanks unto thy holy name and triumph in thy praise. God works sometimes in behalf of us. Why? Because He wants us to praise His name. He wants us to shine forth what He has done for us, to be a testimony, to be an encouragement, and to point the glory, not to ourselves, but to what God has done. You know, even in situations where you think, Lord, I have no idea what to do. I don't know where to turn or where to go. Well, God sometimes wants us to get to that point. He wants us to stop trying to do, to go this way or go that way. He wants us to get to the point where we stop trying and allow Him to work so that it's clearly and clear and plain that that had to be of the Lord. There's no way that I could have done that. I was sharing with my class a few weeks ago about when I came here to work in the ministry. I was trying everything. I was going down every kind of door trying to see, Lord, do you want me to go over here and be a teacher? No, that closed. Lord, do you want me to go over here and be a preacher? I mean, I talked to one man in Wisconsin about pastoring a church, South Carolina, different schools. I applied at different schools, and I finally came to the point and said, Lord, I'm sick of trying. I'm over here working and working, trying to do this and work this out myself. You know, hey, that'd be good. I can work on that and get there and do this. The Lord wanted me to say, no, just stop. And let me show you what I'm going to do. And as soon as I stopped and said, Lord, I just give it to you. I shouldn't be working all these things out myself. And He opened the door. And He provided the way. And now I can look back at that and say, I praise Your name, Lord, for what You've done. And God often does things like that so we can praise Him. Now, if I would have worked those things out, I can say, yeah, boy, look at me. I got that job at that Christian school over there. Boy, I worked everything out. They really loved me. I'm a smart guy. And my intellect was so powerful in that interview that the administrator just couldn't handle it. You know that's not true. But there's no praise to give of yourself. You look back and you say, Lord, that is all of You and nothing of myself. And therefore, we can give that praise to Him. Now, as we look in Psalm chapter 146 here, we need to keep in mind what we've learned about praise. The purpose is not to reflect ourselves, but to reflect the true light, the true source of light of what God has done so that others will see Him, so that God will receive praise and glory. Now, as we look at this psalm, I want to divide it into three major sections here. First of all, in verses 1 through 2, there is the call to praise in Psalm 146. There's a call to praise in verses 1 through 2. Then in verses 3 through 4, the psalmist talks about the incapability of man. The incapability of man. And then in the rest of the psalm, verses 5 through 10, he talks about the infinite capability of God. And I want to, tonight and then next time to finish this up, to go through this psalm and to learn what God wants us to understand about praise. First of all, here in verses 1 through 2, let's look at the call to praise. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Of course, as we already said, this praise is the word Hallel. We are to shine out. We get our word. Anybody have an idea what word we get from that in the English? Hallel? Hallelujah. Some people call these the Hallelujah Psalms, giving praise to the Lord, uttering out things that we appreciate what He's done and we want to point glory to Him. Now, as I look in verse 1, you've got to notice that praise is for a specific object. It's praise ye the Lord. The psalmist is so clear in so many passages. It's such a simple little phrase, and we say it so many times, but yet sometimes we really don't stop and think what it means. It's the Lord that is deserving of the praise because of what He's done. Now, this word Lord here, of course, it's all caps in the King James Bible, and it's the Jehovah God, the God of Israel, the God, the divine name of God, whereby He portrays His attributes. His attributes are uncomparable. His holiness, His faithfulness, His omniscience, He knows everything. His omnipotence, He's all-powerful. His immutability, He does not change. His veracity, God is truth. There's no lie, there's no darkness in Him. God's characteristics and attributes are uncomparable. And the Jehovah God points to this God of power, points to this God who is supreme, who is above all of the creation. He's the one who created, and therefore we cannot attain to Him. We must look up to Him and give Him the glory and praise. He's the supreme God of heaven and earth. The word Jehovah acknowledges His position. It's not an earthly position. It's not a low position. It's a position in heaven. He is above. He is higher than us. The name carried, of course, special significance for the Israelites. You think about Moses, and God told him that I am that I am. That's the great I am. It's associated with the verb to be. I am, I'm in existence, I am being, and I always have been, and I always will continue to be the God of eternity. The God of eternity. Therefore, in this psalm, we are to praise and to shine forth and give the glory and tell of the might of the supreme and all-powerful God, the eternal God who has always been, who is in control of all things. So here, the general object of praise is the Lord. And later in the psalm, as we continue to verse 5 and 10 later on, we're going to see why there are specific reasons to praise this Lord who has done all for us. Now, furthermore, in verse number 1, where is this praise to originate? Praise the Lord, O my soul. This praise is to originate in the soul of man. This is the Hebrew word nephesh. It means the rational soul, the mind, the seat of the feelings and affections and emotions of various kinds. It indicates also soul or self or your life, your appetite, your mind, the living being. In other words, we're talking about the immaterial part of man. We're talking about the invisible part of man, the mind or your seat of emotions or your will, your intellect, those things. The soul of man has often been discussed as such. It's divided into these different parts, the immaterial part like the mind. Every man has a mind. Every man has a heart. Every man has a will. Every man has emotions. Those are the invisible things that we don't see of ourselves, but we know we have them. And from those parts of our being, we are to generate the praise for the Lord because of what He's done. The soul, therefore, can be joyful, can shine forth the praise, can give glory to God when its desires are met. Because man's soul can gain an appreciation for the worth of something. You know, man's soul has a certain appetite, a certain desire. And when those desires are met, we can appreciate. We can give thanks to things. And when God works in our lives, when God works in different situations, we can see that, we can appreciate that in our soul and then give praise to Him. Understanding the control, the providence, the sovereignty of God, what He's done, the works of God, understanding those things and finding them and seeing them in our lives will cause us to give joy to the Lord. Look in Psalm 103. I want to look at a couple things here. In Psalm number 103, turn over there, please, tonight. Psalm chapter 103. Remember, we're talking about praising the Lord with our soul, with the immaterial part of man. That's the originating place of praise. In verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. When we see the benefits of God, we could easily see, wow, Lord, I see what You've done for me, and begin to praise His name. In verse 22, bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When we see all of the works that God's done in His dominion, in His universe, in His creation, it causes a sense of praise in our lives. This whole psalm, Psalm 103, is filled with the goodness of God. And as a result, our souls are to bless God when we see His goodness, an appreciation in our hearts for what God's done. So many times we don't trace things in our lives back to who did them for us. We don't trace them back to God. He's the one who's done all the works. He moves in different situations, maybe directly or indirectly, to work out a certain end for His people. And we may look at them, wow, that person did that for me. I really appreciate that person. And let's just give praise and glory to that person. And there are times when that's due. But we should also say, Lord, I thank You for using that person in my life or for whatever the situation was, and give the praise back to the Lord. Look in Psalm 104, right there beside 103, in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Then the last verse of that chapter as well. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. The soul sees God's goodness and sees what He's done, seeing His works, and then a response is generated, a response of praise. Now, you think about that, of how we can see God working, and compare that maybe to those who don't acknowledge God. Look in Psalm chapter 49. I thought about this as well. You know, there are people, there are tons of people, and many times many Christians, that live their lives and go and buy and sell and are just busy, 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 and they never point the praise to God. They never point the praise for what they have to God. Look in Psalm 49, verse 16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. He didn't bless the Lord. He didn't praise the Lord, but his soul blessed himself. And men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Man that's in honor and doesn't understand what? That the source of that honor was God. That the source of what God's done for him, the source of his riches, or whatever it was, the glory that he had on earth, and not pointing that praise to God, but praising himself. You know, So often I think about the rich man that pulled down the barns, and I've done all these great works, and I'm going to pull down the barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. The Lord, the Bible calls that man a fool. A fool. So many times we continue our lives and we don't give the praise to the Lord for what he's done. When we see what he's done and the great things he's given us, we should immediately thank him and say, Lord, I thank you that you've blessed us in this country. You know, I was talking to Brother Paul before he had a surgery. He was telling me about this, when he was in Indonesia and the terrible situations in the hospitals there, and how children had to wait for days with serious infections until they could see a doctor come in, and just the terrible, unsanitary conditions. And he was telling me he was thankful that he was going to be going to a hospital where there was good standards and cleanliness. And we should be thankful for things like that and thank the Lord for them, that he's given us those things here where he has placed us in this earth. So clearly then, we are to give praise to the God of eternity, the God who's sovereign, the God who has a purpose and is working that purpose in the lives and men on earth. You know, even when we don't think God is working a purpose, I think, Lord, how can you be working in that? I remember talking about Habakkuk and how the people in the time of Habakkuk couldn't understand why God was using that evil nation that deserved such wrath and punishment. Well, God can use evil of men. God can use the wrath of men to praise him. And even when we can't find God's wrath, we think, Lord, where is your praise? Where is your glory? What are you doing? We better be on our knees thanking him anyway. I think about Job. He had no idea what was going on in heaven, in eternity, with the scene of Satan and God there. But he still praised the Lord. He still blessed the name of the Lord. Now, do we ever have a heart of praise for what God has done? Do we never praise him? Are we so consumed with what seems to trouble us? Or, well, you just don't understand what's happened to me in the past and all the hardships I've been through and the decisions I made that I thought were right and they just ended up being wrong. And you just don't understand. I have a right to be bitter. I have a right to look into my own situation here and not give praise to the Lord, because the Lord surely didn't work in that situation. That can't be God. What is our attitude toward the things that happen in our life? Even when we don't see what God's doing and can't understand them humanly, we still need to have a heart of praise. Our praise and attitude comes from what we really believe. If you know in your heart and believe that God's in control, we should believe that because His Word says so. We need to believe the promises of the Word, that God's in control. And if we believe that God is for us, that He's working in certain situations, even when we can't see now, we may see later, we still need to praise the Lord. If we don't think God's in control, then we're never going to praise Him. We're going to praise ourselves. So as we study this psalm, we're going to be drawn to the goodness of God, the goodness of God, all the wonderful things that He's done. And this should make our souls, the immaterial part of our bodies in verse number one, oh my soul, it should make our souls appreciate and give God the praise. So many times we allow the situations of life to cloud our souls, to cloud and to overcome and overwhelm us, and our spiritual sight gets hindered and we just can't see the goodness of God. And if you are thinking selfishly to where you can't see God's goodness, then you're never going to praise Him. You're going to end up in a state of bitterness, where you think the whole world's against you and you got to have all these pity parties, and we get consumed with ourselves. It's sad, and the Lord convicts me sometimes about that too. We get so consumed with our little scenarios of life and we forget to praise the Lord. We forget to say, Lord, thank you for this. I'm finding the silver lining, or Lord, I want to find something to praise you with. You know, I've heard of stories about, you know, somebody maybe have been in a battle and lost half of their leg, and they'll say, well, thank the Lord I didn't lose my whole leg. You know, that kind of attitude. Find the good to thank the Lord for. You know, if you walk around all the time thinking how bad things are, you know, the world's just awful here, and, you know, we're just never going to make it. Man, our children are going to get lost, and everything's just awful, and we just can't even get out of our house, everything's so bad. walking around with a melancholy, bad, gloom and doom spirit here. Well, we know the world is bad. The Bible says so. It's to be expected. But we need to praise the Lord for what He's done rather than being melancholy and bitter about the situation we're in. Praise the Lord for the things He's done for you. Now, one last note to make here about the word Hallel is the mood of the verb. The mood of the verb here is imperative. And when we think about the word imperative in English, it signifies what? You English teachers could tell me. It's a command. It's, I command you to do this. So this verb, Hallel, is a command to Christians. Just praise you, the Lord. Praise the Lord, all my soul. I'm commanding others to praise, and I'm also commanding my own soul to praise. It's something that the Lord wants and desires us to do, to point things toward Him. You know, think about the praise then as a command. It's not an option. That means that no matter what your situation is, what's the command? Praise the Lord. No matter what the situation is. No matter if you did something great and people are saying, wow, that was great, brother, you're just awesome. Well, praise the Lord. That's the right kind of heart to have. Point the glory, not to me and all my goodness. And what does that come from? It comes from knowing how frail we are, how incapable we are, which we're going to look at, but yet how capable God is and how He can work in our lives. You know, God doesn't command us in tough situations to flee, to hide, to run away, to turn to ourselves, but He commands us to praise. Commands us to praise. Find what God wants for us in these things. If we're too focused on complaining, you know, I thought about Israel. You know, the Lord delivered them in the Red Sea. They had this great psalm of praise, and then a few days later, they're over there griping and complaining about water. They have already forgotten what the Lord did. Don't have such a narrow-sighted view of life that you forget what the Lord's done for you. But continue to have a heart of praise and blessing for Him. In all situation of life, any situation, any scenario, good or bad, ones you understand and ones you don't understand. You know, in the classroom when you don't think the kids can get any worse, praise the Lord. Find something to praise the Lord about. In all situations, God commands us to praise Him. Why? Why can we? Because we realize that He's in control. And that no matter how bad it may seem, God's in control and He works in our behalf. Well, I only got one verse done. Next time we get together, I believe I'm preaching after Thanksgiving, so that will go right along with that time of year. We'll finish up the psalm then next time. Let's go to prayer. Dear Father, we thank You and praise You so much for who You are, Lord. We acknowledge that we are weak. We're sinful. We're nothing, Lord. And apart from Your wonderful grace working in our lives, we would amount to nothing and nothing would get accomplished. So we thank You, Father, so much for working. Help us as Christians to continually have a heart of praise where we see what You've done, Lord, and direct the praise to You. When somebody commends us, direct the praise to You. In a bad situation of life, direct the praise to You, Lord. Help us to find what You've done and to dwell on those things and have the right attitude in our hearts and life. Thank You, Lord, for who You are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.